your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
Grab life by the throttle. Play our Bucks and Bikes Swipe to Win promotion at Wind River Resort and Casino. Win free slot play, cash, fuel, prizes, or his and hers Harley Davidson Street 750s. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Earn double entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Drawings Thursdays at 7 p.m. for cash and fuel. Swipe for your chance to win a variety of prizes. Or his and hers Harley Davidson's. Not one, but two. Plus, we have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot. Unlimited entry all month long to increase your chances. It's never about the destination. It's the getting there that will stay with you. Now, let's make it happen and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our Bucks and Bikes Swipe to Win promotion, where you could win his and hers Harley Davidson Street 750s from Redding Harley Davidson. Final drawing Thursday, October 27th. Cash up for grabs too. Bucks and Bikes Swipe to Win. Remember, more games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. For details, log on to windriver.com. It's better at the river and on a Harley Davidson.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, state of Jefferson. Hope everybody out there is having a fine morning and dealing okay with this little bit of summer not wanting to let go.
I like the fall.
It's a California summer.
Yes.
Go away. We're ready for the cold and the rain. The good things. Oh, but we are here. It's another Sunday and another day closer to victory here for us in the state of Jefferson as things continue to roll on. Another day closer to our second assembly meeting, and we're really looking forward to that and some of the things. Been getting some good looks at the Constitution and the revisions and the things that are going on, and there's things in there that I think are still going to get argued about, but it is masterful what the people are putting together and understanding what they want to do. And that's one of the things I think that we want to talk about today is knowing what good government is, recognizing it, because how can we form a good and better government if we don't know what good government's supposed to look like? Right. We've got a halfway good idea of what bad government looks like. So, we're going to get into that today. And as always, here with Wynn Carpenter. Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning.
How's life treating you?
So far, so good.
Yeah, busy, busy, busy. That's for sure. But good stuff is happening. And So kind of what set me on my quest this week is I've been researching the DMV for an article that I want to put out, because the thing that touched me off is we got an email at the Shasta Lantern from a guy that asked us to look into some things. This guy was accused of driving under the influence, took it to court, fought it, won, was acquitted, and DMV decided that they were going to suspend his license anyways.
Hmm. What?
Yeah. Without the ruling of a judge, without him actually being convicted of a crime, they are going to make the independent determination to suspend his license.
How does that work?
I'm not sure. That's what got me starting to look into who in the hell told them they could do that.
Oh, they just did it themselves.
They did it themselves. It's one of those laws or regulations where these agencies in California are granted the right to create and enforce regulations outside of the purview of the legislature actually creating a law. It's illegal. It's illegal federally. It's illegal in our state constitution. It's against everything that Americans think or stand for, yet California promotes it. They continue to create it. Look at CAR. Look at Fish and Wildlife. Look at any number of agencies. Look at the barber authority or whatever they call it. You know, people that There's no barber laws in the Constitution or in the legislature, but there's a whole slew of regulations created by the Cosmetology Board that you have to follow, and they will fine you if you don't follow them. Who created that law?
A bunch of bald guys?
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, nobody.
I don't know.
So that's what began this thing, is we received this email, and DMV getting off that without the rule of law, basically ignoring the rule of law, has decided to deprive a citizen of what I consider a fundamental right of movement and ability to pursue happiness, to obtain property, to work. You know, I have never bought into...
Hotel 3, are you
online? I have never bought into the whole idea of that driving is a privilege. Was driving a horse a privilege? Is riding a bicycle a privilege? Is walking a privilege?
It's transportation. So.
It's the ability to be mobile.
Yeah.
So the entire premise that they're built on is ridiculous. But that got me looking into the same thing that I always look into when I get looking into California agencies or people. I always start with the money because that always tells me a lot. Now, DMV is not a revenue-neutral agency.
Sierra 6 and Truckee standing by.
Hold on a second there, everybody. Sorry.
Truckee is calling us?
Truckee, yeah. We're getting a call from Truckee here, folks. Hold on one second.
Well, so then if they're doing that and they're charging the guy to, you know, basically suspend his license, which I'm probably sure there's mm-hmm. a fee involved. And then there's another
be
fee.
A reinstatement fee.
Reinstatement fee. And a penalty fee on top of it, probably.
And not only that, he has to carry a higher level insurance because they are going to consider him as
a risk.
As a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to continue to pay for that insurance for the 2 years that he's not even allowed to drive.
That makes absolutely no sense.
No, it doesn't. Not legally or morally. But if you are an agency that is designed to be nothing but really a hidden tax agency to the citizens of California and milk them for everything that they're worth, it makes perfect sense.
There you go.
And if you're working in conjunction with the insurance companies, it makes even more sense. And so I got looking, okay, how bad is it? Well, the payroll of DMV. DMV has about 8,300 employees, okay? And their aggregate payroll equals out to about $137,000 a year per person.
Okay.
Now, there's no way that the angry lady who takes forever sitting behind the counter at DMV is making that kind of money.
Right, so it all goes to the top.
So it all goes to the top.
Yep.
It's top-heavy. It's counterbalanced. But even after all of that payroll, Department of Motor Vehicles generates about $8.4 billion a year for the state of California. About $1.1, $1.2 billion of that goes to the CHP. They essentially fund the CHP. Okay. Now that other $7 billion goes into the general fund. How is that not taxation?
Interesting.
How is that not considered a tax? But it's not. It's licensing, it's fees, it's all these other words so that they don't actually have to pass a law to have a tax. But we're talking about $7 billion. If you take the population of California, that's $176 a year for every man, woman, and child.
Wow.
It's almost $700 a year for a family of four.
So we're paying $65 a month
it's
to
taxation.
play this game.
And they have all of these different ways of getting it. You've got your license fees. You've got your registration fees. You've got your $2 anti-theft fee. You've got your abandoned vehicle fee. You've got all of these different little $2 here, $5 here, $7
smog
here.
Smog fee, and then you,
smog
have, to, then you
fees.
Have to pay
exactly.
To have it smogged. Yep.
It's a scam.
Yeah.
It is, you know, so they're $7 billion a year that just one agency is siphoning off people. But when, as a state of Jefferson, what are we going to do without California's money?
A whole lot better.
So that got me thinking, well, okay, how many of these other agencies are not a loss or revenue neutral? Okay, how many of these other agencies of the 500 some agencies in California are revenue neutral. I would love somebody to call this program and tell me a single California agency that's revenue neutral.
Hmm.
One. Name one, and I'll refute you.
Hmm.
So if every single California agency is generating an income for the general fund, yeah. Are they really not 500 some different taxation agencies under a different name? if you're thinking about it, yeah, they provide some services, things like that. Hell, even the IRS answers the phones, don't they? They print forms. That's a service. But they're still a taxation agency.
They come and take you and haul you away if you don't play by their rules. That's mm-hmm. a service.
So we have over – we have our normal taxes. Okay. We have our state income tax. We have our state property tax. Then you get into the taxes and fees that we're hit for our electricity, for our water, for the right to breathe, for, you know, CARB.
Cell phone use. Landline phone use.
Everything.
Yeah.
We are taxed by everything.
Yeah.
But what are we going to do without California's money? Have some ourselves?
Well, that's a novel idea.
Yeah. What a concept, huh? Maybe we'd have enough money to figure these things out for ourselves.
I think we'll be totally fine without California's money.
Yeah. And it's just kind of kicked me into a new gear of looking at some of these things. And, the way that California hides their money, there is not a single revenue neutral or agency that takes a loss in the state of California other than our legislature and our retirement program.
The new program that they're trying to enact?
Oh, that'll lose money, too. I guarantee that'll uh-huh. lose. And they have enacted it, the new secure retirement fund.
Yeah.
What a joke of a name, too. I mean, really, this
secure.
There's nothing secure in the state of California. But we kind of want to get into that and, you know, getting people into the appropriate mindset for the state of Jefferson. Because some of this that we get into, I still find people that are pre-programmed for that California mindset, for the socialist mindset that we have in existence. And they go along with it robotically and they don't even take the time to stop and think about it.
Right.
So we'll talk about that a little bit when we come back on the other side. But we probably better sneak off here to our first break and get into that. And going to kind of hammer some other things and, you know, really get people thinking about what would we do without California's money? What would we do without the state of California? What are we going to look like? And just how bad are they bilking us? Because it's bad, man.
It is bad.
All right, we'll see you on the other side.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday 9 a.m. to noon.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Moving up really shouldn't be that hard to do if you get the monkey off your back that's dragging you down. It ought to be pretty easy to get up and move on then.
It'd be a heck of a lot easier, shouldn't it?
Yeah, and that monkey, when you're talking about the state of California, is about an 800-pound silverback gorilla. Might be a couple of them. Oh, so, yeah, it just, as we were talking about, the agencies in California that are not revenue neutral, that produce revenue, yet even with all of that money that they were sucking out of the citizens of California, they can't balance a budget. They still continue to run a deficit. They still continue to accumulate debt. They can still continue to fail the system.
Is that because we've failed to hold them accountable?
Yes, it is. And we're very, very responsive. Don't even get me started on that this morning, looking at some of the things that are going on nationally. That's another thing, is we are going to have to fix this ourselves. Anybody that doesn't realize or come to the concept, whether you believe in the state of Jefferson or what we're doing or not, if you haven't come to the epiphany that we the citizens are on our own, you're never going to figure it out. You don't have a clue, you're not going to get one. Engaging with our representatives at this point is pointless. They're not going to do anything for us. They have no intention of doing anything for us.
That's why you vote them out of office.
It is. Then
they're worse than having somebody in there that isn't doing a thing.
Yeah.
Because they're doing so much
negative. If you went to a restaurant and the food was terrible, would you go back to that restaurant until they replaced the chef?
No.
If you elected your own chef, would you keep electing the same crappy chef so you got to eat crappy food?
No.
Why do you elect crappy politicians over and over and over and over again?
I know.
Why do we do this to ourselves? It's nonsensical. And it's very easy to sit back and go, oh, yeah, we elect guys, but they don't have the power to do anything. And that is the dynamic that we're trying to change. But how much are they helping us?
Very little.
Jim Nielsen, James Gallagher, Ted Gaines, Brian Daly, any of these guys, what have they done to help us?
Crickets.
Yeah, crickets. So why are we electing them? Why are we dealing with these people? Why are we even attempting to have communication and discourse with these people at this point? Well, what is the point?
But the thing is, if you look at their financial supporters that they post on their website, that tells you right there what's going on.
Exactly.
I mean, it truly does. And they have to disclose all that. So look it up. Find it. That'll tell you
Who's really running your state.
Yes, exactly.
It ain't you.
It isn't you. Your vote doesn't count. Their vote counts because they're voting with their pocketbook and they're paying these guys off.
Absolutely. And then you have individuals like Ted Gaines and his wife that have no interest in the citizenry. They have no interest in good government. All they care about is staying in the government.
That's right.
It's a career for them.
They're sucking off the teat of the government. Yep.
Yeah, just as much as everybody else. But we continue to elect them.
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
I know.
Because you're too lazy and too ignorant to vote on anything other than name recognition?
Well, and people say, you know, a lot of people say they don't vote because their vote won't count. Well, it's certainly not going to count if you don't vote. I mean, how do you expect it to count if you're not even going to go through the process?
I know.
and if people realize, too, you don't have to vote. If you have two candidates that are not worthy of your vote, don't vote for either one of them.
Yeah. They should have been primaried out.
The rest of the ballot should be doable on there, but if you run across a couple candidates on there or a couple political positions that need to be dealt with, so to speak, if you're seeing people on there that you truly in your heart are not going to vote for, then don't vote for them, but vote for the rest of the people that are on the ticket.
Well, that's one of the things is we need good candidates. And it's quite obvious that they are incapable of identifying themselves.
Yeah.
We need to stop letting them pick themselves.
Yeah.
There's only one way that we got to do it.
We have a great many of good people throughout the Jefferson Territory, if you will, that could fill all kinds of shoes here and get it cleaned up and get it done right.
Well, that's what I love about Jefferson and what we're doing and the concept is because we will have local government.
Right.
We will have government that's responsible to us. They're not going to be answering to 500,000 people. They're not going to be answering to 1 million people. You can't do that.
Right.
They're going to be answering to a very small amount of people that they're going to have to live in their neighborhoods and look at them every day, sitting in church and going to the supermarket.
Yep.
And they're going to be held accountable. And they're going to be in their neighborhoods because they're not going to be hiding out at the state capitol all year.
That's right. Yeah, when we have a part-time legislature, that's what's going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you don't
like
to happen.
If you don't like what your representative does, you go knock on their door and say, okay, explain it to me.
What are you doing?
Yeah, tell me what's going on
here. He's at your kid's Little League game because his kid's there.
That's right.
You know, it's...
It changes the dynamic of the whole process when you do it locally like that.
It has to.
It does.
And
that's why we're trying so hard to fight for this, to get this to be... The process.
And we have to. And again, with our legislators and our assemblymen, why are we bothering? Why?
Well, obviously, you know, we had to go through the process.
We
had to ask
that.
Them for help. We asked them. And the thing is, we shouldn't have to ask.
Right?
We shouldn't have to ask. We should be able to go down there and say, okay, you guys need to fix this, so let's get it done. And because remember, they're the employees. We, as the taxpayers, are the employers.
But they have, because of the way that we treat our elected officials, because of the way that we respond to them, because of the way that we deal with them, they have a very firm understanding that the people are not a threat to their career.
Because they think of themselves, and a lot of our people think of them as royalty. They are not royalty. They are just like all the rest of us. They came from the same place as we did. And they just made it into those positions because they had enough money. Somehow they got in there.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, what we need to do is take control of that. We went through the process by asking for their help in this process because they supposedly represent us. And they supposedly are some of us. And they are not one of us.
No,
so now that that's been clearly defined by their lack of action, and we have had people call and email and write and talk to them face-to-face multiple times throughout the territory of Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, it's been clearly laid out by all politicians, all of them, local and down there as well,
but
that they're not willing to work
with us. Do we consider that option exhausted? Do we finally go,
it's already considered.
We're not going anywhere with these people.
It's already done. It's already done, but we had to lay that out. That was part of the process. You have to go through that process in order to really define.
Establish the pattern.
Yep, and the line in the sand has been drawn by them, not by us, mm-hmm. by them. So now we have taken other routes, and they forced our hand to do that. And guess what? We've learned, and we now know what we need to do. We've known it for quite a while, but mm-hmm. we're going through that process, and we're working toward that end. And the beauty of that is it's done by the people, for the people, and not by politicians.
And I hope that discussion right there helps people to understand why when we do certain things in certain processes and people stand up and go, well, that'll never work. We know. We know
yes.
that it will never work. But as Wynn very clearly and very correctly pointed out, we have to go through the processes.
We have to go through the processes. You have to. You have to exhaust all options before you go to the next level. Because if mm-hmm. you don't and you skip a step, that could be the one step that's
the loophole.
That's the loophole. And we have to exhaust all those because then we can hold them accountable to those loopholes and those things that we checked off as we went through the process.
Exactly.
And we've got that all documented. We've got it all done. And they know that. That's why they're scared.
And does it slow down the process? Does it
yes.
become a grind?
Yes.
It's very frustrating.
Yes.
Does it look like we're beating our heads against a wall?
Yes. Multiple. Yes, is on all those levels.
But there is absolutely a purpose and a reason behind it.
There is. And some of the people that aren't involved don't get that.
That's...
They don't get it. It's like, come on, folks. We are doing everything. When we say everything, we mean everything. We're doing everything we can by the rules.
Because we're going to have to prove that we exhausted all options and there was no fruition to
That's
the
correct.
Process.
That's correct. And we have documentation to prove it. We have documentation up the wazoo to prove
piles
it.
Piles of it.
Yeah. And so, the judge wants to look at it. In the jury or whomever.
That's yep. what I'm kind of hoping that back and forth right there kind of brings out for the people, because I've heard a lot of that lately. Oh, well, you guys are just doing stuff that'll never work. We know.
We had to. We had no choice.
Yeah. It's we're aware.
We are fully aware.
But there is a reason and a purpose behind it.
Yeah, when we start down some of these little avenues, we know from the get-go that it's not going to work. But it's like, okay, we kind of all roll our eyes. It's not going to work. However, yeah. we have to do it.
Here we go again.
But we do it again, and we document. We go through the processes. We record, you know, what we've done and all that kind of stuff. Not that we're recording conversations, but some places we were able to because it was open public forums when it was a major mm-hmm. event that we were hosting. Okay, great. They're on tape and on record of having said this, that, or the other. So we have all that.
Exactly.
And that's the beauty of it. We have a huge arsenal of data and information that can be used for our proof.
And that way when their lawyers and judges come back and go, well, you didn't do this. Oh, yeah, we did.
Boom, here we go.
Over and over and over.
Yes.
Well, you didn't try.
Yes,
yes
we did.
So
yes.
With that, we've got Terry with a comment.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, guys. I kind of wanted to just... If I could, just kind of bring up each thing you guys just brought up. You brought up three very good points. And on those three good points, there are solutions that we can do on each one.
Okay.
Can you guys turn off your phones at all? But I don't know if Bob can do that because I can barely hear.
We can try.
We've been having technical difficulties in the studio this morning.
Okay, anyway, you know, when people say we can't do it, you know, it's really the people that can imagine anything that can do the unimaginable. And when you look at Jefferson and Shasta County and the 33,000 plus signatures we have, that's an amazing thing. But I'd kind of like to address a couple of things. Red, you really made a good point about how we treat senators, et cetera, like royalty. Why do we still call people who are not senators anymore Senator Johansson or Senator this or Mr. President? Why do we still call them that? They no longer have that title.
That's correct.
John Adams made the comment when he got on his carriage to leave the White House. He got in and somebody said, Mr. President. He said, no, I'm not the president anymore. I'm just plain old Farmer John. Therefore, we have Farmer John.
There you go.
Yep.
The other thing I'd like to bring up is what you said, Red, about the people we elect. Part of that, the biggest problem with that is the press. And, Red, you did a great job on asking a question the other morning when Doug LaMalfa was on Carl Bott's show and Trish was interviewing him. Your question, I believe, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe your question was, can you name three things that you've accomplished since you've been in Congress for the North State. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that was what I asked.
And what a great question. Now, of course, he didn't say anything he accomplished. He started talking about the things he proposed, the thing that he had proposed, some things that he was co-sponsoring, but he didn't talk about an accomplishment. And I called in to the station, and I asked the young man who was the producer on Carl Bott's show, could you have Trish just ask him what he's accomplished? That's what the question was. It was accomplishment, not proposal, not what I think I can do or not what I might be doing. And therefore, the answer was there is no accomplishments, nothing. Number one. And number two, the young producer's response to me was, it seems like the congressman just isn't going to answer the question. So does that mean we don't ask it or we don't rephrase it by saying something like, well, Congressman LaMalfa, that's not the question, really, and we're glad you're proposing these things, and we're glad you're doing this. The question is, what have you accomplished? What have you done for the North State? Is that pretty much in line?
I would say that was absolutely in line, and I had wished that that had been pursued doggedly. I think that that question should have been run to ground. Not what did you try to do, not what did you think you were going to do, not what did you float into a committee that you knew was going to die. What have you done? What have you manufactured? What bacon have you brought home? What have you done for the people of the North State? What have you accomplished?
Yeah, and you know, I think that there's so many times we're afraid to step on toes by even saying something polite. That there's a way to do things in a polite manner, but these people that are in the press are afraid of stepping on toes. Now, we met a gentleman named Scott Adams through Paul Preston. He actually introduced us, Scott and Leah. And Scott has a radio program that reaches 7 million people a day. Mark Baird and I did an interview on Friday that reached 7 million. He was so impressed with it, he is airing it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And we're doing a three-part series on liberty in the state of Jefferson, basically the silver bullet. We also found out that Pennsylvania is running into the same problems in their rural communities that we're running into here. The magnitude of this is absolutely amazing. And to reach that many people just through friends, and again, this is grassroots, folks. This is all grassroots. And to reach that many people and be able to reach them and to have a speaker that's as eloquent as Mark Baird, you know, and someone who knows the issue, who is an everyman, someone who can bring you to the understanding of what he's trying to articulate, this is an amazing thing.
It is. And again, there is no one better than Mark Baird that is able to bring government down to the level of the people that it should be.
Right. And I did want to just bring up really quickly, too, if I may, that we need to do something to accomplish how we move ahead. We have three issues here. First of all, don't call your ex-senator senator. Call them by their name. Don't call your ex-supervisor supervisor. Call them by their name, because that's who they are now. Number two, the press. We need to start putting pressure on the press. We need to start calling into all these radio programs, and folks, you need to be writing letters to the editor. And it's about liberty. It's about freedom. You know, it's about community. It's about local issues. But we have to start getting into the press and getting the word out. We've got to get the word out about Jefferson like we did this last weekend. I mean, approximately, we might hit as many as 30 million people. So the idea of doing that is something we need to do. So in your local towns, all you that are listening, write letters. Do whatever you can. And also Shasta County and Jan and Wynn and Doyle, all of you folks, so too many to name. It's amazing what you do every weekend, two, three events every weekend. Folks, I don't care if you're in your county and you have a honeybee festival, a car wash, you know, a church social, a cakewalk. We need to be there talking to people. We need to be spreading the word. People have said that the support statements aren't something now that we need to be doing. They absolutely are, because the minute that you sign your name and you put the city you're from and you put and you print your name, you now have a dog in the hunt. You now are in. You're saying, I support this. I support liberty. So now you're actively engaged. It gives people a piece of the pie.
And it strengthens the evidence. It strengthens the amount of plaintiffs. It strengthens the argument of the disenfranchisement of the people of the North State.
Absolutely.
And, yes, and also going to the third part you guys brought up, and that were the people who were elected officials. Red, Wynn, you're absolutely right. Wynn, you're right. There are employees. Red, you're right. We need to hold their feet to the fire. And I know, Red, you've had the courage, both in what you've written and interviews and everything else, you have the courage to do that. We have to put pressure on these people who have access and, you know, to radio programs that either radio stations that they own, et cetera, so that we can start asking these tough questions. And we need to push them to ask a question if it be tough. Too many of these people that do interviews are afraid that they'll never get another interview with the royalty of the senators and the state and the royalty of the Congress, won't get another interview if, in fact...
What those people need to realize is those elected officials need them a hell of a lot more to get their name and their name recognition and the repetitiveness out there than those media owners need the elected officials.
But they don't. They don't realize that. And that's the problem. They don't. And the press, of course, is left-wing. And really, it all comes down to courage, actually, or know-how. I mean, you know, a lot of times it's tough if you haven't done a lot of interviews or been interviewed a lot. It's tough to just go, oh, okay, well, maybe I should form the question this way. You know, you ask the question, you don't want to be rude, but, you know, it goes back to that question. What did you accomplish? Not what are you proposing? What did you accomplish? You can go back to that politely. You know, maybe you didn't understand, sir. Maybe I wasn't clear. Maybe it's me. I didn't communicate it properly. Whatever way you have to say it. But at what point are we going to stand, and at what point are we going to start holding these people accountable? At what point?
Well, Terry,
I mean, we've got to have a full-on court press here.
Hey, Terry, on this, if the people that we have in these political positions were actually doing their job, the conversations would be one heck of a lot easier. That we could talk to them about what they've accomplished. They could rattle them off. They could rattle off their accomplishments. But since they're not doing anything, their accomplishments are being skirted. They're talking about what they want to do and how they want to do it versus what they've done.
Well, I've noticed one thing, too, and that's a good point, Wynn. I've noticed one thing when Congressman LaMalfa is in an interview. He goes back to state issues. He always goes back. He goes back to AB 109. AB 109, he has no control over. He's a congressman. He's federal.
Yes.
But he always goes back to agreeing with the horrible situation that we have in California and the overreaching regulations, the overreaching situations that we have on just about everything, the agencies, the overreaching agencies, the 500-plus agencies. He always goes back to that rather than staying with the federal stuff.
Well, he goes back to the well because he knows that he can strike a chord with the people here. And even though he goes back to the well of issues, primarily North State issues, he's not doing anything to help enable the state of Jefferson. He's not working with the people to help the state of Jefferson. He's given lip service to it in the very early beginning. And the reason that he's got to go back to the state well is because he has accomplished nothing at the federal level. I can tell you the three accomplishments of Doug LaMalfa in his 2 years of term. He passed two bills, both of which authorized Indian casinos, and then he managed to establish a overfunded crop insurance for rice farmers. Those are the three accomplishments of Doug LaMalfa in the last 2 years.
Well, I did notice that that's a good point. I did notice his sign is in front of every Indian casino.
Weird.
Every one of them. One other quick thing, too. When we were in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia and in those areas, it's amazing how people understand how they want liberty. And on the tour that we just took, as you know, we were gone for 2 weeks back to Washington, D.C., Virginia, Pennsylvania, Gettysburg, all over the place. And it was the people that were on our tour with us, there were 47 of us, and 31 were from the United Kingdom. You talk about people who get it. You talk about people who are understanding what's going on as far as liberty goes. It was amazing. We made some great friends. But I did learn something, Wynn, that you're going to get a kick out of. You know how we always say you have to have a dog in the hunt?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I always thought that was an English expression. I always thought it was something, you know, fox and the hound kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, they all looked at me like, what are you saying? And I said, well, isn't that an English expression? They said, no. Oh, you must mean that you need to have a finger in the pie. Mm-hmm. So, when we're talking about people in the United Kingdom, their slogan is not a dog in the hunt, it is a finger in the pie.
There
so,
hey, Terry, we've got to get off to our last break here.
All right, you guys, have a good day.
Thank you, Terry.
Great points.
Thank you.
And he does. He brings home a lot of good things and how we need to engage and how we need to treat with these people.
Yeah.
If we treated our fellow citizens with the average amount of respect that we receive from our elected official, I'd punch you in the head. I'm serious.
You're right.
Right. With that, we better get off to our break, and we'll see you on the other side.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Big Bike Weekend 2016 thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, nonstop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bett on the main stage. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family-friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Redding, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Redding at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Who's right? Who's wrong?
Yeah, I'd even go so farther. What have you done for me?
Anytime,
ever?
Ever.
Oh, well, we are down to our last couple of minutes, and there was something that I did kind of want to get into before we get out of the show and maybe change people's thinking a little bit. And I've brought it up before and some things, and I'd kind of like to hit it home a little bit. And then we'll get to Gary Hallahan. But before we go, why do we need license plates?
I want to be able to track you down.
Well, it's, you know, you ask most people that, and their automatic reaction is you get the sigh, you get the rolling of the eyes, and the look of, okay, here we go with this tinfoil hat nut job again.
Yeah.
But why? Why do we need license plate? If we are, and this is what got me thinking about it was DMV, and the manipulation and the control the DMV has because they are taxing us to death. they are the agency that's responsible for authorizing illegal aliens to operate motor vehicles and to vote and all of these other things.
Yeah, to vote.
And
vote,
all of this mission creep that is DMV stems from one thing, because we need license plates. Why do we need license plates? If we are a state that believes in liberty over security, why do we need license plates?
Well, the cars already have a VIN on them, so.
Okay, so you can adequate. Identify the vehicle for certain purposes.
Yeah.
Why do we need a giant code on the back of your car that allows your Fourth Amendment right to be violated on a regular basis?
Good question.
For what reason? Would you wear a license plate on your back? Would you attach a license plate to your gun and register it?
Yeah, no.
So why do you do it with your car?
Yeah, you're right.
Is it because there's a legitimate reason or a need, or is it just because you're naturally pre-programmed to it? And you need to start looking at every dealing that you have with government and authority in that state of mind. Why?
Yeah.
Not just because we've always done it. Because I'm one of those people that, you know, when somebody would say, well, I don't think we need license plates, I just go, and then now that I'm really logically, what the hell do we need them for?
Yeah.
And it's to identify individual vehicles for law enforcement. Well, is that not surrendering liberty for security? Are we not naturally opposed to that? I certainly wouldn't tattoo myself or display an identification number openly on my body. I sure as hell wouldn't do it for my firearms. I wouldn't do it for my kids, so why do I readily do it with my car?
Which is an extension of your personal being, yeah, to a point when you're transporting yourself and your family. Yeah,
yeah, and allows my Fourth Amendment rights to be violated on a regular basis. Well, with that, we better get to Gary, because then we got another call right after that one.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. Very informative program, as usual. One of the steps that we went through, one of our mutual friends, Beverly, logged 2,600 phone calls to the legislature. 2,600.
As one individual, that's awesome.
From that 2,600 phone calls, she received 8 replies.
That is
and
disgusting.
And Bev is not the only one that was doing that in Shasta County, nor the other counties in Jefferson.
That is disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, and she documented every single thing.
That's right.
And it's all been passed on to the gal who's tracking all that for us. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Holding the local politicians. No one on this current city council other than Gary Cadd is for Jefferson. None of the candidates other than Gary Cadd for city council are for Jefferson.
Well, that's because our city council is made up of a bunch of remoras. You know what a remora is?
Right.
A remora is a sea creature that floats along whales and bigger creatures in the ocean and lives off the parasites that they drop.
Right.
That's our city council.
supervisors. Only Chappelle is for the state of Jefferson.
Yep.
None of the others, they want to dismiss it for the obvious reasons. So I think since the election is imminent, we need to hold their feet to the fire and maybe just not vote for them. Because locally in the city of Reading, what will the city of Reading do when we become the state of Jefferson?
Yeah, what will it do?
All right, I'll leave with that great conversation. Oh, I'm not going to bring up the national. I'll leave it right there. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Bye.
Thanks, Gary.
We will be on 3 hours more later, Gary. We'll be talking about the national there. With that, we've got Ron in Reading.
Good morning, Ron.
Yes, good morning. I did hear that the other day when he was talking to Trish Cart. And he basically sidestepped the question, and he blew smoke up her butt, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he did.
But anyway, she didn't proceed anymore, so I've kind of lost faith in her. But, you know, when I was voting for Doug LaMalfa, or talking to him, he said, if you don't like what I'm doing, you always vote for somebody else. I was talking about Monsanto a lot of times. Anyway, I did vote for somebody else, but the only thing is, Gary Allen Oxley and Greg Cheatham were the two people that I think I liked the best, but they didn't have the money.
Absolutely.
Because they didn't kiss Monsanto's butt or ride around with their head in Monsanto's lap. And so they didn't have the money. So that's how Mr. Doug LaMafia, as he's is being called now, that's how he won, because he had the money. But anyhow, so anyhow, I'll get off the station here and let you. But anyway, I'm just so irritated that she let him get away with it. And we can't vote him out because he's just got so much money. So anyhow, that's my comment. So.
And that's one of the dynamics that we can fix in the state of Jefferson. And thank you for the phone call, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
We do have one more caller, but very quickly, I want to remind everybody, the 51st State Gun Show is next weekend, October 15th, 16th, up in Yreka. Go up there. Talk about the state of Jefferson.
Yep.
Help spread the word. They're going to have door prizes. There's people working very hard up there to help out. It's going to be a great time, a great opportunity. Get up there and go. They're also looking for help to set up there. So contact one of your state of Jefferson Facebook pages or the SOJ website to see how you can help. You know, get up there and help support the state of Jefferson. Also in Reading, there's going to be a military vehicle day down at Benton Air Park. We're going to be out there in force. It's going to be a lot of fun. And with that, we're going to get to Diana Baird.
Good morning, Diana. And
good morning, Diana.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Sunday.
Same to you.
I just wanted to let you know our tentative agenda for the 2nd Jefferson Formation Assembly.
Okay.
We're opening the doors at 8:30 a.m., and we're going to be having our welcome, our invocation, and their flag salute at 9:30. So if people can get there by 9:30, they won't have missed anything. And plus, they'll be able, if they bring in their registration slip, they can be admitted in much quicker than we did last time. We're just going to be receiving their registration form, stamp their hand, and let them in.
There you go.
And then once we get through with the flag salute, we're going to be having Jenny Rapini here in Placer County talk about the grassroots, an introduction. Since we're all talking about, you know, our event is being a grass, or not our event, but our whole program is being a grassroots, I would really like to hear from Jenny to find out exactly what is a grassroots program. And then after that, we're going to have an introduction to State of Jefferson Policy by Mark Baird. He is the founder, of course, of our current generation's movement of the State of Jefferson. We're going to have lunch, which you can buy on-site for $5 or go out to one of the local vendors. And then after lunch, we'll be talking about the basis of construction of government by Mark Baird once again. And then once we hear from Mark Baird, we're going to break apart into our committee working sections. And we were asking people to bring their mission statements and SMART goals. And at this working session, we are asking people to review their mission statements and their SMART goals based on what they heard from that morning's assembly. If there's any tweaking they need to do on the message, then that's the time to do that. If they're perfectly happy with their mission statement and SMART goals, then their work is done, and then we reconvene at 3 o'clock for the full assembly. We'll talk about and hear about the committees that have been working since our last assembly.
Perfect.
All righty.
Perfect
well,
timing
thank
there.
Thank you with that, Diana. And, that it's going to be a dynamite assembly, and a lot of those committees have been working feverishly to produce some very good things.
Yes, they have. And I am excited to hear about their responses.
Alrighty. Well, we will see you guys next weekend for the Jefferson State of Mind. We'll be talking about some more. And got plenty on deck that we want to talk about with the state of California, what they're up to. And keep it California. Are you out of your mind? All right. We'll see you next week.
And this is KCNR Shasta Redding, where the news is a service of Wind River Resort and Casino.
Trump are making the rounds of the Sunday TV news programs. The topic? His vulgar comments about women roughly 10 years ago.
You can draw a straight line between what Donald Trump said in 2005 and what he's been saying every day on the campaign trail over the last year and a half. This is not a changed man. This is who Donald Trump truly is.
Donna Brazile, head of the Democratic National Committee, Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani says the GOP nominee knows he needs to do well in the next big event.
I think Donald Trump understands that tonight's debate was always going to be very important, and the stakes have gotten a lot higher as a result of these revelations, but I think he'll be up to it.
Both appeared on ABC TV's This Week program. The debate, Trump and Hillary Clinton, in St. Louis starts at 9 p.m. Eastern. The remnants of Hurricane Matthew triggered severe flooding across North Carolina this weekend.